The words spoken by man, the words spoken by God first, then we see the words spoken by humanity. Sometimes as reaction to what God has said, rather than the proper response. And when we speak about that, I want to call your attention to a passage of scripture here in James chapter 3, verse 5. And we'll begin here. It says, "See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." So the title, today's message, is The Course of Nature, because it says that what happens, the tongue sets on fire the course of nature. In other words, the tongue begins to create chaos, confusion, and it gets nature off its course, off its track, so that things are not moving as God intended for them to move and going the direction that God would have it to go. So in this, I want to let you understand before I get deep into this message as to where I'm coming from as I share this, particularly in this particular time and at this particular hour, because what we have to do when I'm ministering the Word of God and when you're hearing the Word of God, it must be rightly interpreted. We must rightly interpret the Word. We have to understand what is the right interpretation of the Word. The Bible says, rightly dividing the Word of God. But then, here's another side of this. We must also rightly interpret the times. Now, do you hear? We rightly interpret the Word of God, but we must also rightly interpret the time, rightly divide the Word, and rightly understand what's happening in our day and in this particular hour, because a lot is going on in this day, in this hour, as I've mentioned on these last few weeks, months, in fact, I would say years, as we begin to interpret the times, as we begin to see the sons of Issachar, who would interpret the times and know what Israel ought to do. Because the objective is there has to be actions to follow our receiving the Word of God. After God has spoken, then what would be the actions that we as a people of God will take in response to God rather than a reaction? Because when we become reactionaries to things that's going on around us, then we add to the confusion. Now, let me clear something before I go further, is that as we look at our orientation, our bent, our inclinations, the things that we are inclined to do. Let's say the things that, even we talk about orientation, the things that, let's say, our nature has brought us a place where we're oriented to move in a particular direction. The Bible says that we were born in sin and we were fashioned in iniquity. So in other words, we have a sinful orientation. So you can't always look at people talk about, well, I have an orientation in a particular direction. All of us have an orientation. We were born with an orientation that was directed towards rebelling against God. But then what happens, we have to come to the place of reaching that place of realignment. God reorders our lives once we receive Jesus Christ as Lord, so that now we are conformed. We conform to the image and likeness of His Son. And the thing that we are watching, the thing that we're observing in our day and time, is that the course of nature is constantly being interrupted. That's what we're facing today. The course of nature, that which God set in order, that which God set in motion, it is constantly being interrupted. In other words, the thing that, let's say, the pressure is for an alternative directive. How can we move in a different direction? How can we do things different? How can we, there's this call for modifications of the original. Rather than God's original design, people are looking at ways or means of modifying it so that it fits more, I would say, more comfortably into their own lifestyles and their own habits. You probably heard we talk about this whole thing of Reconstructionism, even how history had been, we see the reconstruction of history and the narratives that have gone forth for years, where the truth was not really being told about some of the things that took place historically. And as a result of it, we begin to see where there's a need of putting the record straight, so that we can really understand what really took place historically. And as a result of understanding what took place historically, then we began to not just live in the past, but learn from the past so that we can begin to advance beyond the past. So I want you to see what we talked about, the little forest that kindles a fire, the tongue that sets a world of iniquity. Here's another scripture to help you understand this, here in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. This is Jesus Christ speaking. We saw James speaking at first. Now Jesus Christ is speaking here. He says, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Now, we're talking about the word of truth. Now, we're going to talk about word games. Some people play word games where they begin to just check every word that's spoken as if the meaning of those words aren't as important. I mean, the meaning of these words are not it's not as important as the word itself. But understand what he's talking about. We're not playing word games. We're talking about the word of truth. By every truth or every lie, every word you will be justified, by every truth, and another way of putting it, in every lie you will be condemned. Does that make it clear? Every truth you will be justified, but every lie you will be condemned. So with that, we cannot take a casual approach towards how we minister, because the truth of the matter, listen to me now, we are currently in a state of emergency. We are currently, I'm talking about right now, the world is in a state of emergency. So it's very careful as to what we say, what we do. And you that have gathered together in this place, I understand the responsibility that I shoulder, that I would be condemned if I told you a lie, along with others who would misrepresent God's word. But I must be very careful to make sure that God is speaking through me so that you can hear the truth, that you may know the truth, and be set free from the things that would bind you. Now, with that, we're going to look at some of the current events and look at this current crisis, the challenges we're facing, even in this day, in this hour, because we see natural disasters, and also we're confronted with man-made disasters. You see disasters, chaos, confusion. We're facing crises, and we see natural disasters, and we also see man-made disasters, something that is happening that man has done and man is doing. And then we see some things that's happening that's beyond man's control. But we also, you heard the other messages, we talked about hearing from heaven and how the activity that takes place upon the earth has an effect upon what takes place in the heavenlies. I'll make that clear as we continue on with this message. But what we do, don't ever think that heaven is not taking notice of the activities that's taking place here now upon the earth. That God is not paying attention and that the heavenlies are not responding. God's order is not being, I would say, challenged by the activities that's taking place upon the earth. Now we're going to talk about one of the natural disasters in our day. We talk about COVID-19, and then we begin to see just recently we finally got to the place where a vaccine or vaccines were made available to counter COVID-19. And as a result of that, we had a degree of being relaxed and put at ease because of the fact that there was supposedly an antidote to the thing that was taking place. But then what happened later on, there was this Delta variant that occurred. And with this Delta variant, we came to recognize and realize that it was much more that was awaiting us. This Delta variant, I began to look at what it represented. I was asking the question, in fact, I was researching to see what it was really all about. I looked at the words, Delta variant. Delta talks about the fourth in position, in structure. But then it talks about variant, a change. First of all, even Delta, change in movement. A change in movement, the fourth change in movement. But variant means different from the other forms, different, other than. But then when we talked about that, we began to look at it as being unpredictable. It left us to a place of unpredictability and uncertain in nature. That's what we began to see. So here we were thinking we were moving in one direction. Then we were faced with uncertainties as to what are we to do and how are we, in fact, to do it. Now, as we begin to look at that as one thing, but at the same time, we begin to look at some of the other challenges that we were facing in our day, because we begin to see the what was taking place even concerning the earth. Earthquakes were taking place, and we begin to look at what happens when the earth quakes. There's a certain shaking of the ground caused by the passage of seismic waves. And when you look at these waves that were taking place upon the earth, the crust is released, and we begin to see where the rocks strain against one another. And there's a slip we begin to see that takes place of the tectonic plates. And as a result of it, the earth opens up while the earth is removed. This is all a part of an earthquake. The earth quakes and many lives are lost. We see floods. We see hurricanes and all of these other things that are considered to be natural phenomena that is taking place in our day and in our time. And you would say, well, this is the first time we face these things, but we're facing them in, I would say, proportionately, in a proportion that we, in our lifetime, had never experienced them before. So now, with these, let's look at the natural. We looked at the natural phenomena, but now we look at the man-made disasters. The man-made disasters. I'm going to spend a lot of time on that because we talked about the fire, the setting of fires by men. When men set things on fire. Let's go back to our scripture again where it says, so how great a forest a little fire kindles. a little fire kindles. And it says, and the tongue is a fire. The word spoken is a fire and a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. And then it says, and it sets on fire the course of nature. And who ignited the fire? It was ignited from the fires of hell. Now, with that in mind, we begin to look at the fires of men once we understand the origin of those particular fires. Words spoken by men, but where did they get the words from? Who gave them the words that they speak and that are being spoken? What kind of fires are currently burning? And then the question is, what effect are these fires having on this generation? It's having an effect upon this generation. Some things that have been said and some things that are currently being said that's setting the course or setting the pace for this generation. People are following after that which they have heard. It is what you've heard. That's why it says that faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But yet there are other voices that are speaking. And let me tell you something. People are listening to these other voices, not understanding where these voices are really coming from. So now, we talk about fires. We have to be at a place where our responsibility, understand what my job is and what your job is to put out fires. Our job is to put out some fires because we begin to see a fire burning over here and a fire burning over there. We must become firefighters so that we put out the fires before they burn everything in sight. So that's our responsibility. We talk about putting out fires. If you're going to put out fires, extinguish fires, you first must know where the fires are. What's burning? What's on fire? What's out of order? Where is the confusion right now? What is this thing that is, I would say, that's consuming this generation so that the people are consumed by a particular thing? And our job is to put them out. Understand. But if you're going to put a fire out, first of all, you must respond to the alarm. You must respond to the alarm. We talk about the alarm. That's the prophetic warning. Did you know that God knew that this fire would eventually be ignited? And he does nothing unless he first makes it known through his servant, the prophets. God will give us a prophetic word so that we are prepared ahead of time, even before the enemy ignites a fire. So the Bible tells us, we begin to see where it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Now let's talk about fires that we see. We talked about man-made fires. Let's look at the most current fire that we are facing is this Dixie fire. They said this is the largest fire in California's history. It's been burning for over 23 days now, and they said the amount of consumption is triple the size of Chicago. Can you imagine that? Three times the size of Chicago has already been consumed. And understand, and I'm giving you an abbreviated view of this because I have some points I want to make here. You begin to look at what actually ignited the fire was the negligence of man. It was something that was, it wasn't just intentionally or deliberately set, but it was a negligence on the part of someone. They're investigating it now, and they're looking at Pacific Gas and Electric Company as being the origin of this fire. That's where they believe this fire might have started. But then we begin to look at even what has taken place in California, because this isn't the first fire that they're facing, but it's been a lot of fires. California, where land, we look at the California land, totals about 99,813,760 acres. But here we begin to look at the amount that has been destroyed already. Over 90,000 acres have been destroyed, and 1,590,000 acres of the total land in California has been destroyed, because there was a big fire in 2020, wildfire. It was like the wildfire season, where over 8,100 fires contributed to the burning of nearly 4.5 million acres of land. That's what took place, even with these fires that took place. But it's not just California. If you watch the news, if you've been keeping pace on what's going on, there's also been a fire in Greece. This fire in Greece has is epic proportion. They're saying that it is threatening historical sites. And here's what the writers and the reporters are saying. They're saying it's reported to be a biblical catastrophe. Did you hear something? Because even many of the biblical sites are being threatened right now. And they're saying, they're talking about this thing being a biblical catastrophe. They're talking about three-quarters of the municipality is threatened and about to be destroyed if it's not stopped soon. So you begin to look at the fires that have taken place and the fires that are consuming. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, because we begin to see where fires are taking place all over the world. All over the world. And you begin to and understand, if you just look at the fire itself but not look at the effect of the fires, you'll just say, okay, it's burning, and when it burns, it will eventually come to an end, and that will be the end of it. But understand that science has, scientific discoveries have brought forth an understanding of the impact that fires would have upon nature and upon this whole planet. Because what has happened, and it's not a lot of reporting taking place concerning the Amazon rainforest fires that have been burning for several years. And understand that this Amazon rainforest fire is really having an effect upon the whole planet, because in the Amazon rainforest alone, 20% of the Earth's oxygen is really produced out of the Amazon rainforest. 20% of the Earth's oxygen. 20% of the Earth's species. We look at the different animals. In fact, I was reading something about the Amazon rainforest, about the different species of life there, that there are many species that we know nothing about or very little about, that they are yet finding in the Amazon rainforest. So 20% of the Earth species are there. But here's another part that's very interesting. In the Amazon rainforest, it holds the key to some of the most deadly diseases. Because when you go into the Amazon rainforest, the different plants there and live, the things that's live there, when they experiment with it, they find that it holds the key to resolve or remedy many of the deadly diseases in our day. So if you destroy it, then even our medicines and all of that would not be on the same level. So, but here's another thing. When we see all these fires taking place, we are losing the battle on climate change or global warming. I don't care who says that it's not true. That's a fact, that global warming is a fact. And here's another thing. and it's wiping out our ecosystem. Because it's important to understand how all of these things, how God set in motion things so that one thing complements the other. All of these things work together so that once you disrupt the ecosystem, then what happens is it's a threat to the survival of all that exists in our day, in our time. And here's another thing, too, the ozone layer, because when all of this stuff that's burning down here has to go up there, and it's destroying the ozone layers. And we talk about the ozone layer, the ozone shield, rather. It's a shield that's in the Earth's stratosphere that absorbs most of the sun's ultraviolet radiation. So if it's destroyed, then we're threatened with radiation that could take place and be destructive to all humanity. So we begin to look at the threats that's upon this planet in this particular day, in this particular hour, first of all, by fires, but then we see also a correlation between natural disasters and man-made disasters. Because what happens, what man does, we begin to see how there is a action and a reaction. You see, what goes up, it must also come down. So we mentioned God established order out of chaos, but not only did he establish order out of chaos, he set the boundaries for all of his creation. He established boundaries. He said, these are the boundaries that God had in fact established. He said, you're not to violate the boundaries, the established boundaries. You see, and in our day, the preferences of man have overruled what God had established. They said, well, this is what God said, but this is what I say. So we see where these are decisions. We talk about this year of making right decisions made, but not knowing the consequences of those decisions and the full effect upon all things in life, how they affect everything in life. So when you make a decision, there are consequences. When you do a particular thing, there are consequences to the things that you do. You don't see it. You might not understand it. You might not realize it because it's more complex than you can understand or fully realize. But best believe what's done down here affects what's going on up there. So now we begin to see when God's orderly arrangement was interrupted, even by man after the fall, when they built the Tower of Babel. We begin to see the attitude was that let us build a tower, and let's build a tower that will reach all the way into heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered among all the earth. So the attitude that they had is that the whole thing of the fact that we can do whatever we please the way we desire to do it. But then God said, let us, since y'all talking about us, let us come down. We talk about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and let's confound their language. Let's confound their language. Let's get them to a place where they can't communicate with one another the way they had grown accustomed to communicating with each other. He said, because if we don't confound their language, nothing that they set their hearts to do will be withheld from them. So we begin to see the same thing. We begin to see this thing repeated. God protects his order. He protects that which he has set in motion. He says, I would not allow you to bring it to the place of extinction, because if it was left to you, you would self-destruct and everything about you would be destroyed. So now we begin to look at the planetary arrangements here. The fact that, see, science is just bringing us a place of understanding how the cosmos, they talk about the arrangement of heaven, the stars, and all that God has created. That's the cosmos. And there's so much of it we can see, but then there's so much of it we do not see or cannot see. But we're talking about the heavens as we see it with the stars that we observe, but yet new stars are yet being discovered. They're not, you see, but when those stars are being discovered, it is not at that point that they were created. We discovered them. Our man was able to see them. But then there's the heaven of heavens. And all we talk about God's cosmos, it goes all the way to the heaven of heavens, to the large H. So with that, we begin to see how even how the arrangement and the order of heaven, we see that storms and hurricanes and all that has to do with the heavenly order and the arrangement that's taking place at a particular time. Now with that, this is how man is able to read even what is taking place. Because how does he do it? He looks into the sky and he makes a determination as to what's about to take place upon the earth. When you see clouds gathering, let me just read this to you. This is Jesus talking in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 1. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came, testing him. Now you got to read these words carefully. They put him to the test, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He says, show me a sign from heaven. But they were testing him. In other words, do something so that we can see how powerful you are by causing something to happen up there right now that will be visible to us. But Jesus saw right through that, you see, because he never responds to their request in such a way as to prove his authority to them by producing something to impress them. Are you hearing me now? He doesn't have to impress us with how powerful he is. In other words, when you try to force his hand to do something, he steps away from that. So here's what happens here. He answered and said to them, he said, when it's evening, you say it will be fair weather. Why? For the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today. Why? For the sky is red and threatening. He said, now you're asking me to show you something from the heavenlies to prove to you that I am who I say I am. He said, y'all ain't nothing but hypocrites. You're hypocrites because the signs are already there. The signs are already presented to you. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. Now we begin to see. He said, you can look up there and you can say it's getting ready to rain because we see clouds gathering. It's about to be a storm because we see it threatening. He said, you hypocrites, you can see that, but you don't see the times, the signs of the time. The reason that I've come at this particular time to present to you, to let you know that the time has come for the kingdom to be established, for my kingdom to be established, because I come as a sign of that which is to be established among you regarding your future. He said, you can't read that. And he said, a wicked, adulterous generation seeks after things that are impressive. They want to be impressed. And he said, and nothing more will be given to you than that which has already been given. And that was a sign of the prophet Jonah. He said, that which was written, he said, you go back and reference that. That's your sign. Go back and read the scripture. Go back and get an understanding of the scripture that you misunderstood, because contained within it is the sign that you really need to be seeking after rather than the sign that you're currently seeking after. Now, do you see what's happening in our generation? There are people that's still there saying, if you are the Son of God, then do this. If you are a preacher, if you are a Christian, if you see, putting us or trying to put Christ to the test because they don't understand the times, the signs of the times, are the signs that God had already given. Now, if you look at this, you begin to see that in order to interpret the times and the signs of the time, we're talking about the age, the signs of the time, the higher up you go, the more you're able to see. The higher up you go, the more you're able to see. If you're down here and all you see is what you observe, you miss it. Because that which has an effect upon what's taking place underneath is really what's happening up there. There's something that just recently you probably saw where Bill Gates and what was the other one? They took this their own personal rockets up into space. Basil, yeah. They took their rockets up into space and they were able to observe. Basil observed some things that were taking place there. It was a short trip, but it cost a whole lot of money if you wanted to come as a passenger. You remember that? That was just recently. He said, but as a result of it, as they went higher, they went beyond gravity. They could float all around and do all kinds of stuff, and they looked at the earth differently. The earth looked different, and everything looked different. It was an experience for them to have gone to a place where they were beyond their familiar when they where they walking on the face of the earth, but now they could observe the earth and even observe what is taking place to some extent within the heavenlies. They didn't get that far now. They didn't get that far because you think about it, for that trip to be so short, they didn't go nearly as high as many had already gone. They didn't go to another planet even. Do you see that? So now, as we begin to look at what happens, the higher up you go, we get to the place where there are certain things that's happening on the earth that we don't even realize because we've grown accustomed to. You've heard of atmospheric pressure? Atmospheric pressure, that's pressure that's keeping us on the ground, that's keeping us grounded, that the reason that we don't float around is because what happens, the weight of the air that you've grown accustomed to keeps you grounded. That's what's keeping you grounded, the weight of the air. Did you realize that air has weight? That's what atmospheric pressure is all about. But then the heaven of heavens, you see, the higher you go, you get to the place where that weight is no longer confining you, but you go beyond that. Do you realize the depths of the sea? You go so far in the sea that the pressure could destroy you. But as we look at this, the heaven of the heavens affect the most minutest detail of things that's taking place upon the earth. You just have not explored the heights of the heavens as to its effect upon the things beneath it. We just hadn't explored it as of yet. You see, so therefore, what are we saying here? So when we pray to God, we're not just praying into the air, but we're saying we want to hear from heaven. We want our prayers to go beyond the atmosphere, beyond the stratosphere, beyond the ionosphere. We want our prayers to go beyond all of the planets that are there. We want it to go not just to the heavens, but to the heaven of heavens. That's what prayer is all about. Do you realize you got connections so that you don't have to go up in that thing and pay all them millions of dollars and come back down and all you have is the experience. But you can pray now, and you can pray and reach the heaven of heavens, the place where God dwells. The place where God dwells. You get higher than they could ever go and receive something from heaven, an answer from heaven that is beyond their comprehension. Hear from heaven, exploring the depths of heaven. There are things about heaven that you do not understand. You see, just like there are things about the heavens that you don't understand, there are things about heaven that you don't understand. That's why if you understood all there was understand about heaven, let me tell you something, you will long to be there, you see. But we live in this environment, And we live in this environment. So many people have grown, we have grown so accustomed to this environment that we don't understand the simplicity of prayer. It's as simple as prayer seems to be, but it's our entryway to heaven. And understand that we talk about righteousness being there. No sinful activities can take place there. So we see in the Bible where they were praying. The children of Israel were praying to God. He said, your prayers have reached me. Your prayers, I've heard your prayers. In other words, your cries have reached all the way into heavens. And he says, I'm coming down. I'm going to come down. And I'm going to deal with your adversary. I'm going to handle your affairs. He said, but I'm going to send Moses. Because what happens, he will be my representative on the earth for the order that's established within heaven. I hope you hear what I'm saying here. So now, let's look at this pandemic here, the pandemic of physical disease, this pandemic which leads to death. It leads to death. If this thing runs its course, the objective of this pandemic, because it's deadly. But then we see another pandemic. Look at the parallel. We see the pandemic of error. We see the pandemic of lies and deceptions, leading to spiritual death or eternal separation from God, the source of life, being left with nothing more than the entertaining aspects of religion, a shell or a shadow of what was intended to be. And that's what happens when religion, when our spiritual experience is reduced to what we can get out of church. We were listening to songs just a little while ago, and I had to tell the truth. And I was listening to songs, and it was talking about my blessing. I think it was talking about the blessings and my time and all these kinds of things. And I said, what are they talking about? What are they talking about? For the most part, they're talking about getting what they can get out of life that's profitable as far as they can understand. You see, the season, I think about the season of blessings and those kind of things. And I said, look at how shallow much of what we are considering to be spirituality really is. Let me tell you, we have to tell the truth. And our people are inundated with that. That we need to be very careful. Our songs and attitudes are such that we're trying to get what we can get on this level at this particular time and place as being God's answer from heaven as to the chaos that's taking place down here. And God is saying there's so much more that I want to do. I don't mind you having stuff, but I don't want stuff to have you. And don't let your spirituality be restricted to things that you are able to manage. And then it's reduced to entertainment, and that's just a shell. We had a good time. I said, no, did God have a good time? If God didn't enjoy it, then it didn't originate from him. Now, I have to close for the sake of time. I want you to look at here in Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter 1 as we begin to look at this thing of burning. We begin to see the fires that's burning in different places. But let me tell you something. There's also the fire that's burned within. You see the parallel? That there's a fire. Fires are all around us, but then there are fires burning within the soul, the hearts of individuals. Here in Romans chapter 1, verse 26, it says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. God gave them up to vile passions. He said, when he said God gave them up, what God did, this is what God said, this is what they said, and God eventually gave them up to vile passions. Okay, if that's the way you want it, that's the way it will be. That's what God does. God says, if this is all you want out of life. Now, I'm talking to people in church now. If this is all you want is a church experience, this is all that it will be. If all you want is a shout, then that's all you're going to get is a shout. If all you want is someone to sound good, that's all you get is somebody sounding good. Am I making any sense to you now? You see? So God gives them up to what they settle for. God gives them over to what they settle for, but there are consequences to their settling. Listen to what happens here. God gave them up to vile passions. God gave them up to vile passions. He said, because understand what happens. Their passion did not take them far enough. Because I didn't get to that part, because the desire must be for Christ. It must be to know him. It is for his character to be formed within them. That's what should be our goal. That should be our aim. But if that's not your aim, God will give you over to whatever level you're willing to settle for. Then, but there are consequences. He says, for even their women exchange, we talked about nature now, then the natural use for what is against nature. You see, their women exchange their natural use for that which is against nature. No longer was it the way God intended for them to be, but now their orientation shifted because their passions were not anchored in God's established order. If your passions are not anchored in God's established order, and understand, that's God's original design. And I would say, we're born in sin and fashioned in iniquity. You had an orientation towards that which would be against God to begin with. But Christ comes in order to set the record straight, because he gives us, we become new creations in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And then, that's in the spirit realm, but in the soulical realm, he begins to allow your soul to align itself with the spirit. So even if you have an inclination towards a particular thing, God knows how to bring you to a place where you incline to please him. Or you get to the place where you buffet your body and you bring it in subjection. You say, well, I refuse to engage in anything that's against God. I'll just give that part of my life up in order to please God, because pleasing him is more important to me than trying to satisfy some cravings that may reside within the flesh. So now he says he gives them up to vile passions, because understand, this vile passions has an effect upon the heavenlies. So what am I doing? I'm tying two together. I'm showing you what's happening with pandemics. I'm sure what's happening with in nature and all those things, and what's happening within the hearts and souls of men. You see that? I want you to get that point if you don't get anything else. He says, so God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. He said, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. See, I don't want to rush this. I'm going to have to pin some of this, because it's so rich. Because what happens, they rejected knowledge. They rejected the instructions. They no longer wanted to hear the truth. That was a choice. That was a decision. Rather than hearing the message that will challenge them, the message that will convict them of the sin, they chose otherwise to hear things that weren't so convicting. So as a result of it, God gave them over to that kind of mindset, so that right became wrong and wrong became right, because they would not retain God in their knowledge. He gave them up to a debased mind, to those things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. All these are connected, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters, and he goes on and on and on and on, because they did not preserve or maintain God in their knowledge. In other words, the desire to know the Lord, the passion to know Christ as he is, was no longer where they were. And as a result of it, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And we begin to see this thing. I would say it has become, I would say, more than just something that happens every now and then. I would say, look like this has become a reprobate generation where people are more inclined to move in this direction and bring justification. I'm going to talk about the persecutions against the righteous later on, because as a result of it, those that would stand for God's order, those that will stand for God's righteousness, those that will come to the place of surrendering to God's standard, you understand, you have a world that will be working against you, a system that's working against you. And as a result of that, it's going to be times of persecution. We begin to see all these crises that's taking place, natural and man-made. But understand, we're headed towards a time of persecution where it won't be popular to be a Christian. It's not popular now to be a real Christian. And that's going to be a pseudo-Christianity that's going to become more popularized and more accepted by the masses, because they will exchange the truth for a lie. I'm telling you, these days are upon us now. You're going to start seeing people gravitating towards something that's more convenient. And in this generation, if entertainment is a thing that is first and foremost within the hearts and minds of people, they're going to look for a carryover from that which entertains them in the world to a kind of entertainment that will take place within the church. So eventually, it won't be church where the word is convicting and the people are brought under conviction that they may repent of sin. It's going to be a place where church has become a party, where we had fun. We just had a good time, didn't we? And you might as well bring, instead of a pastor being a preacher of righteousness, he'll be a comedian, where he can stand before the people and get everybody laughing. And as you laugh yourself to hell, you say, didn't we have a good time? But that's where it's all headed. Ways of pacifying the masses rather than giving the people what they need, giving them what they want. But God is challenging us to be of a different spirit, to be of a different spirit, to be of such that we will preach the word and be instant, in season, and out of season. Because the time will come when people would no longer endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That day has come, but the Lord is saying to us, he said, I have ordered your steps, and there is an established order that you are to embrace. And don't let the world squeeze you into its mold because you're trying to be like everybody else. But be the people of God in an environment where defection has become the order of the day. So, Father, we thank you so much for your word. And, Lord, it's not an easy thing to minister what you've placed in my heart to minister, but you placed it here, so I must speak it, regardless of how it may affect those that hear it. But my prayer, Lord, is that spirits will be open, that it will go past the souls that may be rejecting it into the very spirits and hearts of individuals that would know what is being said came from you. These are the forewarnings because of the desperate times in which we live. Things that's happening and where our safety has been threatened, like never before, and all of these things working together. But they're working together, posturing us for as a means of judging words that have been spoken, judging positions that have been taken. My prayer, O Lord, is that the judgment of the world will be a challenge, will be a sign to us that we must come from among them, come out of the world system, and be separate from the masses that's engaged in this downward spiral of degeneration. So we give you the praise, we give you the honor, and we give you the glory, as you will rescue those who would have a heart to be saved. That's what salvation is all about. It's the divine rescue, so that we won't have to perish and they won't have to perish with the world. So we give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.